The willingness to surrender one's willfulness to God. Devotional non-duality means the love of God is so intense that one is willing to surrender one's personal will. One comes face to face with it at the final moment, let's say through all these lifetimes and through spiritual techniques and evolution. One begins to transcend the ego and it begins to loosen its hold. The lessening of trying to dominate things with one's will and change them lessens, and surrender comes up now as a style and a way of being. So as everything arises, it's surrendered to God to be what it is at the moment without any desire to change it. The surrender of one's willfulness then pulls the props out from the ego, which weakens and collapses, and one goes into an incredible state. In that incredible state of an infinite knowingness, there is no person present that does the knowing. It's knowingness, knowing itself, and then comes the only possible moment of death. All the previous times one left the body, very often it was a joke, very often it was great relief, a lot of times it was actually comical. Aside from all the drama that people put onto it, the actual experience itself is frankly quite a relief a lot of times, and one's glad to be rid of it and out of there. So one never does experience death, so all the lifetimes of fear of death all end up to be a joke, you know. But there is one death, and one death only, that one can experience. And now that death begins to arise as a profound seeming reality, because that which one feels, knows, senses, has always been the core of one's sense of self, the core of one's own existence, now comes up and stands between one and the ultimate reality. And one gets now that one is being asked to surrender one's actual life to God. What you believe to be your life, which you've always experienced as the core, the essence, the very center, the very source of life itself. One is confronted with the surrender of one's life to God. In that instant, then, there comes the knowingness from some higher spiritual reality, which does not speak verbally, but it's a knowingness that comes to you because you've heard it from those who have become enlightened in their lifetime. Surrender all to God, no matter what. No matter what, including fear of loss of life, including what you believe to be your life itself. If you have decision over what you consider to be the source of your life itself, then you do not have within you a handle on the source of life itself, because that which is the source of life itself is not something you can surrender. So you're faced with surrendering what you think is the very core and essence of your own existence. The fact that you think that already indicates that it's fallacious. Some intuitive greater knowingness, which comes from the great beings who've been through that past, comes to you. And then the great faith, that's why it's called devotional. Devotional, the great faith comes up, and you find that within you, you actually have the capacity to surrender your life itself to the unknown. The known, all that you believe through all these lifetimes, is the core and source of your own life. And you must now surrender this to God. And in that final moment, one does die. And there is a split second of agony as one feels oneself, at least in this particular instance. There is the actual agony of dying, the first and only time you've ever experienced it. After a brief second of what seems like unbearable agony, one feels oneself dying and suddenly explodes the realization that no death is possible, that you are the source of all that has ever existed, throughout all of time, before all universes, after all universes, that which you are is untouchable. And the source of existence itself is not different than the truth and reality of that which you are. And from that point on, death is impossible because there's no one to die. There's no one left to die because there is no one now. Having surrendered the one you thought was the self, yourself, the oneness of yourself, because it's gone, there's nothing left to die. And so the fear of death is extinguished forever. And then, at that point, everything is happening spontaneously, and one is the witness of it, and it takes considerable time, at least in this particular instance, to learn how to navigate within the world itself, because the body walks about by itself. Everything is happening spontaneously. The best one can do is try to re-energize the mind to at least second-guess it and appear as normal and relate as what the world considers normally in order to stay in the world. In this case, that was not possible, and it was necessary to leave the world for some years. And even now, very often, how the body navigates is absolutely a mystery. The universe does it somehow. You see the body moves about by itself spontaneously, so something obviously is moving it. But there isn't any source or central spot of volition that through intention designs how it will move or what it will do. It just goes about itself automatically. And that's what's called, I guess, in Jungian terms, the persona, that which interfaces with the world and reflects back the world. So what the world sees is that which the world is reflecting back upon itself, but there is no central reality to it. Because one is the field, not the content of the field. And what is witnessed is the content of the field. It's not what one does anymore, it's what one is to the world, and to how one holds consciousness of mankind. The service now moves from the individual to the field itself. Just as one's identification with the field is discontinued, then one's identification with the field energizes the field. And so one tries to serve the evolution of consciousness of mankind as it stands at this moment, and to serve God in whatever one's capacity is occurring. However, it's occurring of its own, so one neither takes credit nor discredit. Frequently you have permission to leave the body. Actually, the permission is a standing permission. I can leave it at any moment. The permission becomes more obvious at times. There's times in the middle of a lecture when it's very strong that it's hard to explain in ordinary terms. It's a knowingness that one is invited to leave at this moment, not only permitted, but almost invited, attracted to leave. There's no way of knowing what decision will be made because there's nobody making the decision, so one watches. If the body falls over and stops breathing, well, then it went that way. And if it keeps on walking down the aisle, then it went that way. But one doesn't know until one sees what happens. The closest came one time during the middle of a lecture, and then I walked down the aisle, or this body walked down, what the world calls I. And walking down the aisle, there was a strong pull to leave, as though one is being pulled back into heaven, you know, like by a magnet or something. And so one didn't know if it was going to keep on walking or not keep on walking. And it, by some mystical means, it kept on walking, and so it still is. There are many things that really cannot be explained in terms that are comprehensible by ordinary thinkingness, you know. People are able to comprehend it, you might say, unconsciously or by via this field of their own spiritual reality. So the spiritual reality is able to comprehend what was just said, but the mind and the ego really can't, because there's no terminology that is correct in the world of verbalization that really adequately describes it. But I think people who have been in dream states and all that, and people in near-death experiences, I know that very well. You can either leave or not leave. You know, when I was a teenager and had that experience in the snowbank, it was quite similar because breathing stopped. Everything came to just absolute still perfection. One didn't have to keep breathing or resume the physical body at all. But at that instant, I saw that my father, if the body had not resumed breathing, my father would have presumed I was dead because he believed in death. You know? I mean, everybody believes in death. Well, in a certain state, you realize death is not possible. But I saw that he didn't know that. So he would be grieving what he thought was death, you know. So I breathed again. See, death is not a possibility. The energy of life can be transformed from one form to another, but it cannot be extinguished. It's like the law of the conservation of energy or the law of conservation of matter. The law of the conservation of life is that life cannot be extinguished.
Dr. Hawkins ends this session reminding us that we are not our physical bodies and that our spirit, our true essence, does not die. Given this truth, how might you apply it to your current fears around your death and the death of your loved ones? You might like to try a visualization in which you imagine your death, but experience the continued life of your essence thereafter.